You know, there's a story told. First of all, I want to give the shooter today, his definition was Lori Conley, Yosef Yudah ben Avram Arp, is the show the highest points he had eight. Okay? And therefore, he's a great man. And I'll talk a little bit more. She was a doctor, and he helped a lot of people. He was a very talented man, great writer. He's a lovely, brilliant player at home. Helped out a lot of people. The Bunham went in the charger and everything. He always was studying. A doctor's always has to study. She's studying, and you're done after medical school. It's a constant. You got to keep up with the times, consult with other doctors, and read the medical books. So in the show, I'm going to go to high school to get a very missed. There's a story told with Yaakov Kamenetsky that after his grandson, might have been his grandson or his son, I think it might have been his son, after his bar mitzvah, I guess one day Yaakov called him over and said, I have something for you. And he gave him, he said, this is going to be the most important thing that I'm going to ever give you. And he gave him a watch. It wasn't like a fancy watch. But what was it symbolic of? Symbolic of time. And since it was symbolic of time, that you should be a Kaddish Zman and don't waste your time. And in this week's parsha, you have a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh. The first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael as a whole was not believing in Hashem, was not Kriya Shema, or was not Talmud Torah. What was it? Kiddush HaKadosh. It seems a little bit strange, no? Why would that be? So the Rav Zatzal and Rav Pam Zatzal both gave the same answer. And what was that answer? That answer was that now that Lamaisa, you guys are free, I want you to Mekadosh Zman. And Eved has no concept of time. Since Eved has no concept of time, he can be woken up 3 o'clock in the morning by its master. He has no shlita or dominion on his time. When you become a free person and you're free, then you have dominion over your own time. And Hashem says to us, don't waste it. Be mekadosh. Don't mail in any day. Like we always say, today's the last day of the week. Don't mail it in. Every day is a privilege to be in yeshiva to learn. Yes, go ahead. The Rav Zatzal and the Pam Zatzal based on the scorner. That's why it's the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael. Because Hashem wanted to, you know, tell them, this is what you need to do, and Lamaisa, this is the Kiddush that I want to bring out. Okay, so you need to be able to remember that how important time is, and that's why he gave him that watch. He gave him that watch because even though that watch Lamaisa didn't last his whole life. But it always instilled in him that he's got to use his time properly in the Kaddish. Okay, this is the first Kiddush that I want to bring out. And it's an important Kiddush. And it comes by Parshas Bo all the time. And that's why the first mitzvah of forgiving the Kaddish was a Kiddush HaKadosh, to sanctify the Kaddish. You know, like in America, there's a, I don't know if you ever heard of this, there's a catchphrase, passing time. Passing time is like a nibble pet for us. Because you don't pass time. Okay, passing time, time is precious. Okay? Very good. So that's the first Kiddush I want to bring out. Number two. Rashi writes in Pirkei Avos about days that the purpose of Choshech. And you know how you can remember Bo? Because Bo and Gematria is 3. So there were 3 plagues in the Parsha, 8, 9, and 10. It's a good way of always remembering. So it comes out that one of the purposes of the plague of Hoshea who was to conceal the death of the wicked Jews who didn't wish to leave Mitzrayim, so that the Egyptians shouldn't witness their deaths and claim that the Jews were being stricken, just as the Egyptians were. How many Jews died? 4/5. 80% of the Jews died at that time. Don't you think it's very hard to hide so many deaths from the Egyptians? Wouldn't they surely notice their absence at the conclusion of Choshech? Never thought about that? So I want to share with you that Rav Schwab, you know, the Schwab is the Rav of Reuters, that's out, and his Sefer Mayim, this stream says a very good finish, Parshas Bishal, but I think it makes sense. He argues that Rashi could not have meant literally 80% of the Jews. That's what Schwab writes, in the Mayan Besa Shoeva. This would have caused mass mourning for the remaining Jews and a desecration of Hashem's name among the Egyptians.
So how many did?
What'd you say?
How many did it?
So rather, just as Rashi writes that Cain was punished not only for killing Hevel, but for all of Hevel's offspring, who would no longer be born because he killed them, so too the relatively small number of Jews who died during the darkness were counted in terms of their total number of potential descendants, who were numbered 4 times the 600,000 who left Egypt. So in other words, if you do the math, and that was considered to be what, numbered 4 times, that would have been the potential, okay? So, well, it's not literally 80% high, but what would have been 80%, okay? So that's the shot on Mike's endeavor. Schwab wants to say. Okay. Rav Sarutskin in the Negev Yosef suggests, you know, that shot's much more palatable, because always, you know, 80%, so many people, one of them, and that they wouldn't notice it. So you have to play that down. The other answer is Rav Yosef Sarutskin, the Negev Yosef suggests that the primary concern was that the Egyptians shouldn't witness the death of the Jews, although their subsequent knowledge of the death wasn't a problem. What do you think the difference is? Because when a person sees his enemy in a painful, embarrassing situation, he experiences a sense of satisfaction that can't be felt through mere knowledge of his enemy's downfall. So his answer is there really were 80%. But there's a big difference between what? Between seeing them die and finding out afterwards that they died. That's an interesting answer as well. But that answer assumes that what? Also that there were 80% died, right? But it was in the darkness, so they didn't see them actually die. So therefore, that's what the Negev Yosef
could have been
disrupted.
You
know
why? They didn't necessarily know that they died.
That's right. Maybe they didn't see the corpses, you don't think?
Not
because
they buried them.
I mean, they buried them before. Could be. But this is a shot, Lamaisa, that I want you to get. That's a second shot, okay? First is on Zman, the second one is on the notion of kosher. Okay. Now, number three, another thing I want to add on to kosher is that Rashi writes in that same also, period, period, plus a couple days. And one of the reasons for the plague of Choshech was that the Jews could secretly enter the Egyptians' houses in order to see where their valuables were hidden. So that when we left, we would know that there's a safe behind someone's picture. You know what I mean? And they would be able to take the money. So when the time came to borrow, in quotes, because the room was ours, when the time came to borrow them prior to Tzitzrayim, the Egyptian claimed, well, they had no valuables, the Yidden would be able to respond by specifying what they had seen and where it was located. If Hashem caused the Yidden to find favor because of the Egyptians, he willingly gave them their finest possessions and gave them even more than was requested of them. We find, Rashi says in Pericles Beis, plus one above, they gave us everything. Why was there a need to locate their hiding places? I thought the Mitzvah gave us everything. Right? Hashem caused the Jews to find favor in the Mitzvah, and they gave us everything. So why was there a need to find these other things? But they had given us everything. So the Panach Raza answers that if the Jews hadn't first gone to the Egyptians' houses during the plague of darkness, they wouldn't have known what to ask for when they were leaving, and the Egyptians could have gotten away with giving them less valuable items and claiming that was all that they had. Now that the union had inspected each house, they knew exactly what they asked for. Amari Bruno, that's the first one. Amari Bruno, I'll tell you, that's first one's Panach Raza. The Panach Raza writes this. Amari Bruno adds that the Jews may have only gone to the houses of the wealthy Egyptians to borrow items, but the plague of darkness enabled them to discover which poor Egyptians had valuable items worth taking with them. So they didn't only take from the rich guys, they take from the poor ones because they had some valuables. So darkness, Moshiach, gave them that ability to really what clean them out, because in a sense it really wasn't what theirs, it was really what? It was really ours. Right? It really was ours. I guess through all the pain they had given us, we really what really deserved it. If anyone remembers his Gemara Brachos, I think on Daf Yud, you know that says the Avraham Avinu, Hashem told Avraham Avinu that he would be given the booty. Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
I think there was an opinion there on the Gemara that says that they took our stuff from us before we went into slavery, so they were just taking the stuff back. Like, actually, it was actually their stuff.
It was really ours, you're saying.
Not like even like it was actually ours. Like, it was the whatever things they took from them, they went and they found, like, that's why the Choshech, like, showed them where their stuff was and which houses.
Excellent. No, it really was our stuff.
Yeah.
That's why it's like borrowing quotes. Really was ours. Yes, go ahead, Nate. I mean, go ahead, Jonathan.
So essentially, it was like the most egregious.
Yeah, a little bit like that, or what Nate was saying, it really was what really was ours, you know? Absolutely. Okay. You have to keep in mind, you know, they didn't have to put us in hard labor, the park. It was decreed and risk and observed that we were going to go there, but they didn't have to smash us like that, right? The park, that's why that shouldn't punish them. Okay. Now, let's get to the following, okay? The issue of Hashem instructed Moshe in Perek Yudbeis was to give the command to place the blood from their korban pesach on their doorposts to serve as a sign that he would pass over their house without harming them. As Hashem clearly knew who was in each house, why was the blood necessary? It's a great kasha. Hashem doesn't need to have clues, you know what I mean? Hashem doesn't need to have clues. And therefore, Hashem doesn't need to have clues, and Rabbi Lachai posits that the blood that the Jews placed in their doorposts wasn't some magical sign that intrinsically protected their homes from the plague. Rather, the blood symbolically, Rabbi Lachai, the blood symbolically demonstrated the Jews' faith that Hashem would protect and redeem them. Just like Hishtabas, Hashem didn't need the blood, we needed it. They trusted Hashem to the point they were willing to sacrifice one of the deities, a sheep of their Egyptian masters, and publicly display without any fear of retribution. It was this unequivocal demonstration of faith that provided the merit for their protection and salvation. So this unequivocal demonstration of faith that provided the merit for the protection and salvation. A lot of times we have to do ishtablis. You know, a lot of times we have to do ishtablis. Not enough to just what? To just have a mood and thought, you got to do an action. And this is why we put blood on our doorpost, who instilled in us this faith and trust. Yes, Jonathan.
Like, for example, Hashem doesn't need our tefillos.
Right.
But, like, we do it anyway because we help build that connection and make it real.
We need it.
We need it to make it real.
Yes.
To feel real.
Well said. Very good. Okay, so that's the Mahalik about the blood post. Okay, let's get the following now. It's interesting. The Korban Pesach was eaten when? On the first night of Pesach, which falls out of what day of Nisan? The 15th. Why did Hashem command the Jews in Mitzrayim regarding its consumption in a manner which if you read it literally, seems to indicate it was eaten on the what? The night of the 14th of Nisan. You look at the pasuk, it says the Erev Pesach. We're supposed to be at the first night of Pesach. So the Panim Yafos answers, and this is a beautiful answer, that before the Torah was given, even the Jews used the non-Jewish concept of day that begins in the morning and it concludes at night, like a secular day. Only after receiving the Torah do we switch to a system in which a day begins in the evening. According to this Hesber of Arnold and Steinman, Ayala Shachar, the great Gaon, points out this pasuk makes perfect sense. The Jews in Egypt were instructed in Ratzis on what they considered the night of the 14th. What's the night? To their ears, this meant the night that follows the day of the 14th, which is precisely what we refer to as the night of the 15th. So it makes a lot of sense.
I have the only place that does it, though.
What'd you say?
Why is that the only place in the Torah that it does that?
You mean before the what? Before the Torah was given, you mean?
Yeah.
You know what, Nate? I would say that since the Jewish people were formed already, it was like a harbinger of that, of Har Sinai. Because before we were all individuals, we were created at Mitzrayim when we were leaving, before Mount Moriah. So we already have a prelude to that by having a hint to it that our system of time is going to switch. Mm-hmm. And it also works well for Chodesh HaSev Lachem, time, you know, even though it wasn't invoked to Mount Moriah, but already there's hints to it already. That's what I would add in. Okay? That's our finish. Okay. Let's get to now Arba. There's something that's a very beautiful finish of an Arba locust. You know, there's a type of locust that is kosher. You know that? Agav. Grasshopper, actually. We don't know what it is.
They give them out in Israel.
Oh, yeah?
And a lot of people weren't sure if they should eat them or not.
A lot of them what?
Weren't sure if they should eat them or not. Last week, they gave them out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're from chocolate covered.
Yeah, Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a whole sefer on it. About agave. Very nice. Chocolate covered or caramel covered?
Chocolate covered.
Okay, good. All right. So let's speak about Arba. There's something unique about Arba. It says, Yom HaShem HaMoshe, Bo'o Paro Kenifanis Libo V'Vayner L'man Tesmer Shem HaNikon V'Nikon Shohab V'Mitzrayim. You know, I don't know if I'm not a Bakore, but, you know, there are a lot of bows in the Torah. Sometimes it's hard to find. Are you guys familiar with that? It's hard to find the beginning of bow. You familiar with that? The Vakori this morning by us took a while, couldn't find where it was. So the mice, you guys on Monday and Thursday say every word of Murakum? You guys say the whole word? I try to say it every Bundam. You guys say all the Murakum, you know? Balabatim that say it so fast. I challenge any Balabas. I could say it the fastest in 5 minutes. Any less than 5 minutes, forget about it. Say the whole Beruachul with the, you know, the Monday and Thursday you have to add on, what are they? Before Shomri Yisrael. What is this? Yeah, you know all the ones that are said. At least 5 minutes, maybe even six. I don't know why everyone has to rush so much. What?
So you said 6 minutes.
5 to 6 minutes, but, you know, the mice, you guys got to try. You know, they say it was written by three tzaddikim that were on a boat. They were going to capsize. They wrote for Hurakum. Well, let's try to say the whole word and all the words Monday, Thursday. But I was just thinking, you know, people try to say it so fast, and then meanwhile, it takes 5 minutes to find where it was in the Sefer Torah. If we would take time to say the Takanun, you know. All right. Listen to this. The eighth makkah. Why is it that you need to say Laman Tisafir? Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to go to Paro, and I want you to say it over the ears of your kids, that I'm going to mock the Mitzrayim with locusts. Why by Arba was there this need to say over to your kids that there's going to be what? That there's going to be locusts. Why? Laman Tisafir, no, by no other mark can you find this. So what do you think the shot is? So the shot is that it's an amazing thing. There was a promise by Hashem, Allah Almighty, yes, that there would never be locusts ever again in Egypt. Ever. This is what the Tzaddikim writes. You follow what I'm saying? That means in the future, after you teach Israel, if there would be a plague of locusts in the Mideast, Syria, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, you know, Libya, you know all the countries, Algeria, all the Oman, UAE, whatever it is, they would all have locusts, and the only land in the amongst the Mideast countries that wouldn't have locusts would be what? Egypt. And the kids would start asking their parents, what is going on here? Why is Egypt the only land that there's no locusts? All the other lands have it. And then they would say, well, years ago, there was this Jewish people that were in Mitzrayim, and Hashem made them his Amanifer and took us out of Mitzrayim. It would cause great praise to Hashem. In fact, the story of Tehillim is seen the public falls. Yes, go ahead. What do you say? You have? Okay, I don't know. This is what it's found in the Kliyakim Rabban, the Shem Rabbeinu Kanan. That's what it says. That's what it says. And it caused this praise to Hashem. In Egypt? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was a different part of Egypt. Or the land maybe it wasn't Egypt. But I know that the frogs, right? Corner of Benefit Island, you know frogs are crocodiles? Crocodiles stayed in the Eeyore, they just went back in the Nile. But we don't find at all any more locusts. I don't, in regard to your question, you know, maybe it wasn't the exact region of the tribe, okay? But that's what's going to cause a great Kiddush Hashem, and people are going to start talking about it and saying that this is what happened many, many years ago. And that the Jewish people, the Maisa, were chosen, and therefore the Maisa Hashem took out the Jews, made them as Amanifer, and that's what happened. Allah for Maisa. Interesting. Now, we have a Besorah. The Gemara says in Sukkot that Hashem never holds back any reward from any creature, ever. The Mitzrim received some reward for this, believe it or not. Because Hashem Shemayim was the Skadesh through them. So what was their reward? That no locusts would come to them. No locusts would come to them, because since praise to Hashem would emerge from this whole story, they got something out of it. What would they get out of it? That there would be no what? There would be no more locusts for them, even though in Syria and Jordan and Saudi Arabia, there would be. Okay? Isn't that interesting? That's what it means, Jonathan. Lamant Kisapra is Bintah. That's the Yiddish of Lamant Kisapra is Bintah. Okay. Let's continue, though. There's the other Yiddish we find by our. Yes, go ahead.
We also talk about other places about how we still have a parse tool for the Egyptians for all the things that they did do to take care of us before. Obviously, things
went south. Right, right. We mentioned that last week. That's correct. The hospitality. I don't know how much hospitality they really did, but you're right.
Very good. I'm going to talk to you. They all spend some time on this.
Okay,
right,
good. You're saying all the way back, you're saying.
Yeah.
Good. Rashi says that.
Not even all the way back to Yosef.
Right. What'd you say?
You just said we're going to Yosef.
Yeah, well, Yosef built up their economy, but you're right. Thanks. You guys are right. Rashi quotes it. You mentioned that that car is up on
good. Immediately before it was.
Okay. Good, good, good. Okay. Now let's get, because one we have a lot to do today. We'll break time for, but let's, we have a kabur today, which you guys all invited. I got to get the college scored from the car. But I want to point out two other kiddushim that come out from Harvard. There is a notion of emes that comes out. How does emes come out from you? How does emes come out from you? Because it says Baal Paro. What does Rashi say? The Hisru Baal. Moshe, your meat is Emes. Moshe Emes is Sarasa Emes. Sheker has no feet. So what does this mean? I want you to take Musr from the locust from the meat of Emes. If you want to mashpi on your kids, you got cannot be a faker. Because your kids will see right through you. You want to mashpi on NCSY kids or whatever, counselor doesn't have the NCSY. Any kids you want to mashpi on, if you're a faker, forget about it. You got to be an ish emes. And that's what Bacchus Arba means. That when the father is misakin the yid emes, then he can tell over the story and the yiramami. And that's exactly what took place here in Mice. Because, you know, Paro was saying, oh, you guys are liars about the 3 days. They weren't liars, the mice. He saw that they were lying, so he wasn't afraid. He thought, oh, if you're lying, I don't have to be afraid of anything. The thing is that they weren't lying, the mice. He originally said Emes. originally said they want to go off three, but for 3 days, let us go a little bit. He meant that. And therefore, Zaparo was a little bit skeptical and thought they were lying. The mice. What do you mean they're just trying to escape? Bottom line is they wanted to go for 3 days and see what would be. But the mice, they were so, he was such a rush, he wouldn't let them go for 3 days. Then you know what? They're going to go for all the days. So it wasn't that they were lying. The Zaparo thought it was lying, so if there's lying in the plan, the whole thing goes awry. There was no lie. And that's exactly what it means. Moshe and this was Sarasso and this. And that was the Kiddush, the mice. The truth is, it's interesting. It's fascinating that the Baal HaTurim says, when did the locust stop? On Shabbos. You know why? Because what is Shabbos? Shabbos really shows Emes. It's Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos, there's no need to have Arba. Because Arba is supposed to convey the need of Emes. On Shabbos, you don't need that. What's the riot? Even on Ma'aretz is believed on Shabbos. Not to lie by Gemara. His aim is Shabbos alone. He has the fear of Shabbos on him. And he has the fear of Shabbos, so he says that what? He says that it's considered to be Shabbos. So what I want to bring out is that in order to tell over the story about the locusts, you got to be Nishem Skepi, a liar. Because if people think you're a liar, then forget it. You can't tell over the story, you can't have any Ashpah. And that's what Paro thought, we were lying, we weren't lying. But here we were telling the truth. And that's why the locusts stopped on Shabbos, because we didn't need to convey the emes. The last Nikud I want to learn out from Arba is the following. Is that if you look closely, it seems like Moshe called the shots here. Moshe's the one who said that Lamaisa, Moshe was the one who said that Arba should come and Skalakwak Agadol Shel Moshe. Moshe chose himself Arba. And Hashem said, fine, I'm going to agree to the Chachamim. Throughout all generations, Hashem agrees to the Chachamim by Halachas. And in this Makkah, we find that Paro said, what did he say? This is the only time that he said, not the only time, but he said what? He said he was wrong. Paro said that he was wrong. This Makkah, he was subservient to Hashem, Kamosha, Arab. But Hashem hardened his heart. Hashem said, no, Lamaisa, you're still going to have it. And that's exactly what took place here. Moshe Rabbeinu called the shots, if you look at it. And he said, I want to have Arba to be brought. And this was the message with Dairus, that the Chachamim, if they are saying the Emes, of course, Hashem is masking to their words. And you see this Befeirish, the Maisa. You see this Befeirish. He says, Chatati, I sin, Hashem Alateichem. Also, the Moshe already sinned. We don't find that in any one of the other Makkas. Even by Makkas Barit, when he confessed that he sinned, he said, but Makkas Arba was through Moshe Rabbeinu calling the shots. And since it was him calling the shots, the Maisa, it was at a higher Madrega. And that's what it means, that Moshe Rabbeinu chose for himself to the Makkas Arba. The Das Hashem, and the Sumatzma, the Makkas Uaparo. And that's why he was subservient to Lamaisa. The Davka in the need of what? In the Mach of Arba, more than any other one of them. Allah Lamaisa. Even more than any, even though he said, I sinned Lamaisa. Tzadi Mani Arshoyim, by Barad. We only find that he confessed on the sin Lashem. He didn't say to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. In Arba, he confesses to Hashem and to Moshe and to Aaron. And this shows another message. And Hashem agrees the Chachamim of the generation. So how many messages of Arba? Three. To be able to say over the praise that it was the only country that wouldn't have in the future locusts everyone else did, and that people would start speaking about it. That's why they received the reward, that they wouldn't get locusts. The other one showing the notion of Emes. Always be Emes. Number three, showing that Hashem agrees to the Chachamim's wanting and what they want to have. So let's keep these things in mind. And when we do Shmai Mikra, you have to remember Bo is the lice of the three plagues of Arba, Toshit, and of course, Makkas Mikvaitis. Okay, we stop here. Here's the Marva Mikvaitis, right here. Okay. And